It's time for Hartley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
And welcome to CAT Scan, and this is our first of the season for 23-24 as we talk about the Prince George Cougars. And, of course, Mark Lamb runs the team, the head coach and the general manager, and so much to get into, Mark, but let's reflect on the summer. What were you up to? Did you get away from hockey, or is it just in your blood 12 months of the year?
Well, you're always, you're always on the pulse of hockey, and, you know, and summers are different. For me this summer, I really didn't get away a lot. I didn't take a big holiday. I did some family stuff. There was some stuff I had to attend to, with my family, and, you know, spent a lot of time in Prince George, and it was nice and relaxing.
And the good news, a little bit shorter of an off season, and that is because of the playoff success.
Yeah, you know, and that's why we play this game. You know, we want to have success. You want to get into the playoffs. You want to have a long run. Last year, especially after Christmas, we really started to get some momentum. We got, people in the right spots in our lineup, and we got some depth, and, you know, we got into playoffs. We were feeling pretty good about ourselves. And, then when we hit Seattle, it reality hit us, and, you know, it's something that we can learn from. And, you know, if we want to take a run, or we want to be a really good team, we got to look right back at that series and learn from it.
This is year number 6 for you, and in the previous 5, it was about building, learning, experience, getting better, looking to compete, and all of those things. Now, I would think year 6 here, with the roster that you have, it's about taking the next step and not just winning one playoff round, correct?
We're at a spot now where we're very optimistic. We like a lot of pieces, to our team. You know, we've got some experience where we're older. You know, that's what, you know, hopefully the experience pays off. So, you know, that's what you're looking for. But the development part and getting better, that can never change in junior hockey. You still have to have the development part to push these guys when they leave.
Preseason results, wins and losses mean zero. However, from a coaching point of view, you look at those 4 games. What did you learn? What can you apply when it really counts?
Well, you learn a lot. You learn a lot about your team. Exhibition, preseason, you really never know who the other team is going to play. You have some NHL guys away. So you evaluate accordingly to who you're playing. Like, we went into Vancouver, our very first game. We had a really, really young lineup. And when I look back at that game, I was maybe the most proud of our team and exhibition on how we played with such a lineup against a pretty experienced group.
What was the response like in Grand Cache, Alberta? Because they don't get hockey like this.
Oh no, they were great, and the whole city really treated us great. Both teams, we really enjoyed ourselves up there. The people that love hockey up there, there's a lot of, you know, beer league hockey and senior hockey, and we had the main room of the beer league team that had a lot of character in it, and a lot of old pictures and stuff like that. So it was very interesting for the guys. But then the games were really competitive. We had a banquet, a lot of good food. They had a band, and they really did a good job for us.
We're going to talk lots about this year's team. I still want to look at the off season, and you have to be most pleased that Jim Playfair is now your associate coach. How did this come about? Now, last season, as a volunteer, he helped you out now and then. He was looking for an NHL job. He had a couple of opportunities. How were you able to convince him, no, we need to elevate your status. We need you on full time. You can be the associate coach. How did that all come together?
Well, it all came together right after Josh you know, got his new job, and it was, you know, it was a pretty simple phone call. You know, he was around last year, and, you know, he had a pretty good feel. But if anybody had a feel of our team besides us, as he was around, he knew the players a little bit, and, you know, with his status and where he's been and all his coaching, like, I was just thinking, like, what a great thing it could be for Prince George, for our hockey club, for the city, for everything involved. You know, if we could get him on board. And my first phone call was very good. I knew he was, you know, getting some interviews, and, you know, you're hoping everything works out. You're always hoping for that. So we just stayed in touch. He had some interviews, and I didn't want to get, you know, too deep down the road with other people at all, because, you know, I didn't want to mislead anybody. And when I talked to Jimmy, he was interested. So I was just kind of hoping it would all work out, and that's exactly what happened.
He's 59, you're 59. With all the experience that you have you had ever an associate coach close to the credentials that Jim Playfair brings?
No, not at all. Like, I, you know, when I was working in the, you know, in Arizona, you know, Mark Hardy was my assistant coach down there, and he had, you know, a lot of NHL experience as a player, but not to this level. Jim Playfair, he's done it all. He's, you know, he's a player first, obviously, and then, you know, coach. He started coaching at a very young age. You know, he's been in the East Coast. He's coached with some great coaches too, and you always learn. He's been a head coach in the NHL. Like, I can go on and on and on. And you know, the way hockey is now is it's not a one person job. It's not a two person job. Like, the NHL now is like a two head coach job, sometimes three head coach job. And, you know, I kind of look at it like that in junior hockey, like the specialty of how, what he's done in the last how many years as a associate coach, with Dave Tippett, you really specialize in the defense, in the defenseman, the defensive part of the game. And, you know, just being around through training camp, the little intricacies that he sees with these guys is going to pay dividends.
He breaks film down, from what I understand, like nobody else can. True?
Oh, yeah. And that's what I mean. Like, they specialize in their craft, and they study it. And then it's all fine and dandy to do that, and then you got to explain it and show it, and he's excellent at that.
What do you think you are going to be able to learn from him? Because I know that's going to be a great opportunity for you to grow as a coach.
You always do. You're always learning. It doesn't matter how long you've been in this game. You always come into, you know, different areas. The game always advances. You want to advance with the game. And, you know, our conversations, you know, even last year, the comfort zone was there. And I can even go back, like, you know, when I was with Arizona with him and I was down in the minors, our conversations, and, you know, we're the same age. We played junior hockey against each other. Back then, a lot of the similar traits that a lot of hockey players had were, you know, you grew up from a hardworking family, and you keep those traits. So that's something that both myself and Jimmy share.
Josh Dixon, when he had that position, was responsible for the defense. Most associate coaches are. Jim's specialty is defense. Is that going to be the area that you've just said, I want you to handle and I'll take care of the offense? Or is it you're going to look at everything and he's going to look at everything and you'll combine?
We're combining everything. Obviously, that's, you know, the area, the penalty kill, the play away from the puck. You know, it's something that I think everybody on our team, we need to get, it's going to be more of a focal point, our goals against this year. So, you know, when you look at where our team, where, you know, we think that we need to improve and bring our goals against down, and, you know, the offense, but we still want to keep that in our book. You never want to take that away. But I think the value with Jimmy coming in, playing away from the puck, and how our D are going to play, it's going to be a little bit different. And that's the biggest thing that, you know, I've said this to a lot of people. I'm going, just because, you know, we bring Jim Playfair in, it doesn't mean we're just going to just take off and win a championship or anything like that. There's always that process. You got to know your players. You got to learn your players. We're going to change some things, and it's going to take some time to adapt. But I feel that time to adapt on how we're going to play is going to, the results are going to be there in the end.
But there has to be instant credibility when Jim Playfair speaks, and with his background, that has to have impact on the players.
Well, you would certainly think it would have a huge impact, and I've seen it already. You know, like these kids, the knowledge that you got, you know, they want to go where he's been, and he can talk that. There's nothing better than talking through something that you've done through experience, and that's positive or negative. He's seen a lot, and you know, pretty much any question that a kid has or a situation that they're in. He can be able to explain it through experience.
During the offseason, you made a significant deal involving a Prince George player. Tell us how that happened, why it came about, what you can tell us about the incoming player, and your thoughts on losing Brown.
Well, Brown is a very good player for us, and you know, there's some situations we really liked. Caden Brown had no... he would have been a big player for us, but you know, sometimes there's situations where kids are looking for different opportunities, and when you're looking for different opportunities, you look at certain things that you want back. So that's exactly what happened with Caden. We really liked him as a player, wanted another opportunity. So we looked around, and you know, the deal that we made, bringing Strom in, and you know, you get a couple draft picks with it. He's an older player. That's got a lot of skill. He's had some injury problems in the past. It's all healed up right now. And, you know, just having him around here through the first four exhibition games, the positive attitude and the work ethic and the hockey knowledge, he's fit in very well.
Is it the kind of a situation where if a player, you know, sort of has indicated that maybe it'd be better for him to have a fresh start for whatever reason, that you always try to accommodate that, you try to talk to them? How does that sort of come about?
Well, there's a bunch of different ways you do it, and you know, he's a very good player. He'd have been a real important player on our team this year. So you just work through it. You put the pros, you put the cons, and you work through it as an organization, and you try to make the best deal possible. But just because a player isn't happy or anything like that, you just don't go, okay, here you go. It's a business.
Right. So you had a look around. You ended up, you know, making the deal with a U.S. division team. I guess there wasn't much concern there because you're mostly looking at the BC division. That might have been a little bit of a different mindset. Or does that even come into play?
Well, everything comes into play when you're making a trade. If you're, you know, lots of teams make a trade right down the road or in their divisions and stuff like that. You know, numerous teams do that. Some guys just make the trades. And, you know, you're looking to try to make the trade the best trade that you can make for your team. And it really doesn't matter which team he's going to if you can better your team.
Taking a look at the roster, are there some surprise players that maybe the public doesn't know, or those that follow the Cougars even quite closely? Hey, watch out for this guy, or this guy stood out so much in camp or in the preseason that, you know, we have to reassess and he may just take off. Is there that player or two?
Well, when I look at, when you look through the exhibition, you know, Becker, he was just so good. Carlin DeZane was really good. Strom was really good. You know, and those guys should be good. You know, they're a little bit older and they have some experience. Dahania came in, like, there's that experience again. He's been really good. Our goaltending swing, but we've had a lot of positives, and you know, probably the most positive when you go to training camp, and I go right back to our young guys, is the group of 08s that came in, and I'm not just the guys that we signed, but that whole group of 08s really excelled in training camp, and even the first game in Vancouver when we had four or five of those kids in the lineup, they played very well.
You're listening to a CAT scan. Mark Lamb is the coach and general manager of the Prince George Cougars. So if somebody was to say the Cougars should be favored to win the BC division based upon they were second last season, Kamloops lost a ton, Prince George has many of its core players back. If someone was to label you the favorites for the BC division, your response would be?
Well, I think a lot of people have said that already, and you know, that's, it's all fine and dandy to say that, but you gotta put in the work. And there's still, like, you can put it on paper, you can go from where you were last year, but every year is a reset. It doesn't matter what you've done last year. It matters what you do today, and then when we get tomorrow, it matters what you do that day. But we're very optimistic of where we're at right now.
Now, if you look at the BC division, and naturally every coach is going to compliment every other team. That's just, we all understand that. But if you can be as realistic as possible, who do you think your main challenger will be, and how do you assess those other four teams? Let's start with Kamloops, the one that has won the division the last three seasons but lost a ton of offensive talent.
Well, it's so hard until we get into the regular season, and because I don't know. We don't know how the kids' summer, right? I don't know how our kids are going to come in. There's going to be positives, there's going to be negatives. There's going to be a trickle-down effect. It's going to be up to the general manager and how they're going to manage that team, what type of trades they're going to be. All these teams in our division, I think, are all going to improve. And you never know about Kamloops. You know, they loaded up last year, but the trickle-down effect is how many of those players are they going to get back? They still could be good. Or are they going to, you know, rebuild or whatever they want to do? I don't know their direction, so it's so hard to say what any of those teams are going to do or how good they're going to be at this point.
With Kelowna, Vancouver, and Victoria, is there one of those teams that we're thinking, well, maybe they're going to be okay, but not really a challenger that you're thinking, you know, if everything comes together, they could certainly compete at the top?
Well, I think any team has that opportunity. You know, and you know, I'll go back to how they manage their team. Like, you can make your team, you know, pretty good pretty quick if you make a couple good trades, if you think. But if you got to think about the future too. But when I look at all these teams in our division, they all have really good pieces. All have really good pieces. So what are they going to do with those pieces? Are they going to add or are they going to subtract?
It's very hard to do what you did last year and make a Chase Wheatcroft trade.
Yeah, he's exactly, and you know, and that turned out for us, you know, very well. You know, Chase was a guy that came in and he really put in the work and he improved and he really bought in to what he was doing, and he's a great example for a lot of guys. I hear a lot of guys talk about Chase Wheatcroft now. They all want to be Chase Wheatcroft because what an example he was for a 20-year-old. What I like about it right now is what I'm hearing about him right now, how good he's been in rookie camp in Dallas. He's scoring. He's playing the same way. So that's what makes me excited. And then when our players can see that, when they see what he's done, but it's just not automatically you're going to do that. You have to do certain things, and that's what Weedy did. He, you know, he bought into a lot of different things. He bought into some, you know, conditioning. He, you know, he practiced harder. He worked harder at his craft, and it worked out for him.
It's so hard to predict, but based on your experience and knowledge, could he be an NHL player? Could he be a fringe NHL player? Do you think his, you know, would be tapped at the AHL level? Where do you think the ceiling is for him?
Well, the ceiling is the NHL. There's not many. He's got a lot more talent than a lot of NHL players. Like, Weedy has some wicked offensive skill. So the ceiling is the NHL.
Is it in pencil, which can always be erased, but Height, Zimmer, and Funk, the number one line?
Well, that's kind of the way it is on paper, but we'll find that chemistry. We got a lot of, and that's what's, you know, when we go through some exhibition, like we got guys that, like Becker and, you know, I forgot to, Parasak has been one of our best players too. Like this guy went back last year. He could have made our team last year. He went back. We probably couldn't have found him the ice time. He went back and he excelled. He's walked into training camp here, and on both sides of the puck, he's played very, very well. So when you add a guy like that in, you see DeZane and Strom. Like we got a lot of players that we can mix and match right now, especially in our top nine and our top six.
So DeZane and Strom with Becker, is that penciled in as of the moment as the number two line then?
Well, they haven't played together yet, but there's an option of it. You know, they're all, you know, left-handed shots, and you know, they're DeZane's played center and Becker's played center, and you know, we're going to need somebody to pop over to the wing, but we'll find that chemistry.
Okay, so you have Thornton and Funken, and we all knew this, that they would be locked in as a 20-year-old. When you made the trade for Funk, the first thing you said is, he's eligible as a 20. We all knew Thornton would be there. You've got one spot. You've got Brennan, you know, Sampson. You don't think you're getting Sampson back, but I'd like to get an update on that. How do you look at where we're at with the 20s?
Well, I really like where we're at with the 20s because, the two that we do have here, I think they're real good players in high-end 20s, which you really need. And if for some reason, Brennan or, Sampson fell out of the tree and ended up back here, well, you know, it changes a lot of things about, it doesn't really change a lot. It just enhances what we're doing.
Well, let's first off talk about Sampson. I think there is a general consensus that he probably would not be back. Are we still thinking the same, or are you saying we're not going to give out the C until we know for sure he's not coming back?
No, we hope for Sammy's case and for Brennan that they move on and play pro. But you know, there's the business part of the game that, you know, for myself, I always got to be aware of that, and you know, you don't want to bring kids in and, you know, get them involved and then something happens and then have to, you know, trade them out of here and stuff like that. We'll just be patient for a little bit. Everything will fall into place.
So there's still, in your mind, a slight possibility that Sampson could be back until you are told 100%. Is that sort of your mindset?
Well, that's the reality of it. We don't, we have no idea what the NHL teams will do with these guys.
And what about Brennan's situation?
It's exactly the same.
Would you go with a 20 and a 19 in goal, or is that not what you'd ideally like to do?
Ideally, you wouldn't want to do that. We think we have really good goaltending. We have a lot of depth there. So if that does happen, it's a really good thing that happens to this organization. So whatever we decide to do at that, it's going to add a lot of value, whether it's a trade or where are we at. Do we think we need, you know, two number one goaltenders to, you know, to go the distance? Like, we don't know that yet. Like, one thing in hockey now, and trends are trends, and, you know, teams are, back 10, 15 years ago in junior hockey, had one really good goaltender and he played so many of the games. Well, it's totally changed. It's way too much work for one goaltender now. And pretty much the depth part of it is you need three.
And are you pretty confident that Ty Young could play 45, 50 games if called upon?
Oh, I think Ty Young would play all 80 games, or 70 some games, or if we go a long way, he'd want to play every night. He's an this guy is in great condition. He's like a pro. He wants as much net as he can get, but you got to be careful with that too. You know, we got some other guys. We still got to have the development part.
So on the weekend, you played Malacca in goal. Now we saw a little bit of him last year. Ravensbergen, are those the two guys that are battling for the backup to Young, assuming Brennan's not in the picture, or do we have somebody else?
Well, Holfolk has played, you know, very well. Also, like all, you know, these three goalies are, you know, the four goalies that I'm counting Young in there that we have here. You know, we're pretty confident with all of them, and you know that's where we're going today. We're going into some meetings, and we're going to try to figure out exactly where these players fall into place and make some decisions accordingly.
You have what I call the best schedule that I have seen from the Prince George Cougars. 9 of your first 12 are at home. Then you get your Eastern trip out of the way. I don't believe you have a road trip of longer than 5 games. You do have some 3-on-3s, but everybody but Kelowna does. Is it your best schedule, and do you think it's to your advantage to have 9 of the first 12 at home, 7 of the first 9 at CN Center?
You know, it's hard to say the best schedule. We kind of thought we had a better schedule before the whole Wenatchee thing came to our side. We had to do some rescheduling in that part, but we're happy with it. The schedule is a schedule. We get out east early, which we really wanted to do, and you know, those really long road trips are really hard on teams, so we tried to limit that the best we could.
Now, I know that, you know, you're high on the BC division, naturally, but from looking at it from trying to be as realistic as possible, I look at that U.S. division, and, you know, with Wenatchee in there now, taking Winnipeg's spot and, you know, some of the good players that have come over there, that could be the best division in the WHL. Would you agree?
Yeah, they sure got the makings, and, you know, you look at that Portland team, you know, even last year, the skill that they had there, and they got some injury and problems late that hurt them. But yeah, that division looks like it could be a real powerhouse.
So this time of the year, do you feel any different than any other season you've been with the Cougars? Is there more confidence because you have tasted success and not trying to talk about we need to get success because of what has happened? Or is it for you, it's, you know, late September, we're ready to go, we'll see where it takes us? Or is there an extra little bit of excitement?
Well, there's extra excitement and very cautiously, you know, you got to reset. You got to do the right things. But excitement wise, yeah, no, we feel really good on, you know, where our team's at right now. We see some holes in our team still where we need to clean them up. But that's always part of it. But you know, sitting here right now is, you know, you talk about 6 years. You know, we put a lot of hard work into it, but we're not taking our foot off the gas pedal at all. We're optimistic. We're going to reset, and we're just going to go, you know, week by week, day by day.
Do you have a team goal? Have you talked to the players about that, or do you still look at, you know, 7 or 10 game segments?
Well, no, we haven't, you know, because, you know, training camp just got over, and basically it's not over until, you know, the NHL training camps are over. So you're still, you know, you're keeping some guys that might not be here, or you're waiting for your NHL guys back. So you got to wait till your team gets back and set a bunch of goals so everybody can hear it and everyone's on the same page.
I did want to ask about Height and Zimmer, and if you had to have a talk with them, or was it necessary about what happened with the draft? Now, look, they're second and third round picks. They're excellent players. They're in your top line. Some thought they may go a little bit higher. You've talked in the past that it doesn't really matter where you go because you have to prove yourself and everything like that. But did you have to have or wanted to have a discussion with them, or was it necessary based on what happened with the draft?
No, and, you know, I know these kids. I know these kids really well, and I know how competitive they are, and you know where the ratings are, and there's so many ratings out there, and people are telling you where you're going to go and everything. And I just, you know, I just told those guys before they went to the draft that it's a draft. You know, you don't know what's going to happen in a draft. You can be rated here and rated there, and you know, but it doesn't really matter. There might be, like, even for Zimmer and Height, there might have been some teams that had him in the first round, but they didn't get to pick at that spot. You know, so that's how the draft works. And you can drop, you can go up, and I really believe that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That team that picks you is the team that liked you the most. And it's the same in the Bantam draft. We like the player that we pick, we like them more than any other team. So that's what I tell the kids. It's a draft. Obviously, they all wanted to go higher, but after it all settles in, they're really happy.
Anything else from the offseason? We've talked about, you know, the addition of Playfair, the big trade that you had to make. Anything else from the offseason? We've talked about the goaltending situation, the 20-year-old situation. Anything else before we end our first podcast of the season you'd like to pass on to the fans, maybe that happened in the offseason or something that, you know, that we missed?
No, I don't think we missed anything. It's just like, you know, the momentum, you know, from last year. And I know momentum just doesn't carry over, but, you know, we got to go out there and do our job. And last year at the end of the year and the playoffs and some of those, it was just such an exciting atmosphere. It was great for Prince George, and we just hope to get that back.
Right. Appreciate it. And all the best. We'll have lots of conversations during broadcast, more CatScan podcasts. Appreciate your time and good luck this season.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yes. Mark Lamb is the head coach and a general manager of the Prince George Cougars. And you've been listening to CatScan.